Hello and welcome to episode 31 of the Complimentary Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Katie Langerman, joined as always by Anthony Hobday. And today we're going to be discussing interface personality and usability.
Yeah. We're getting up there with episode numbers. It's getting close to my age. And probably the people listening Same. Don't know my age. But yeah, it feels like it's growing up so fast, you know.
Yeah.
And unlike how people work, it's overtaking. I suppose that's how dogs work, because they do 7 years for every 1 year. That's the official rule.
Is it?
So, yeah, this is aging even faster than a dog, which mm-hmm. sounds like a bad thing. But actually, it's getting up there.
It is.
A lot of episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of.
I don't know why I'm having these thoughts at 31 rather than, you know, 20 or something, but 31 felt like a significant number for some reason.
It does feel like a significant number, and I do think it does have something to do with it being close to probably both of our ages. So
yeah, it triggers something.
Yeah, it's a trigger there.
But yes, interface personality versus usability.
Yes.
Is back on topic things. And personality is one of those things that interface designers have always struggled to define, because it feels so, I think it's the sum of so many parts, and the sum of those parts is always greater than the parts themselves. Oh, no, I said that wrong. It is greater than the sum of its parts. And so I quite like to discuss it with you, because personality is so fluffy, you know, mm-hmm. and how can we hopefully pick that apart a bit and understand what personality is, but also the practical effects that might have if you're trying to inject loads of personality into your interface. How might that harm usability or improve it? I mean, there's always a chance that too much personality is a good thing, but spoiler alert, probably not.
Yeah, it totally depends. And I feel like it changes, like, as you become better at design, the way that you integrate personality, I think, changes. Like, even just imagine yourself customizing anything. I don't know, like, when you're a kid and you have the option to change the theme of something, you're...
MySpace.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking of. Like, I think your immediate thought is like, I'm going to use all my favorite colors. So you're not really thinking about design anymore. You're just thinking about, like, what are things that I like that I want to show the world? So it's like a different mindset to think about just enough personality without being like, this is literally me in an interface.
Mm. I like that point a lot, actually, because not actually, that sounds like I'm surprised that I like your point. I like that point a lot because personality as a word has never felt quite right to me to describe what you do with an interface, because it's got the word person in it, and an interface is not a person. And like you're pointing out there, if you're not trying to get as much of it in as you can, you're not trying to recreate the sort of person who made the interface, you're trying to make the interface feel different. And so maybe personality isn't the right word there, but it's probably the closest we've got, because that's how we sort of can categorize people. We can say this person has a different personality from this person. When we meet them, when we interact with them, we sort of end up walking away feeling different, or maybe as we're interacting with them, and this is where it sort of ties into interfaces, as we're interacting with them, we're feeling different things. And so if someone's got what we would say a bad personality, probably as you're interacting with them or after you walk away from them, you feel bad. And that's one way that you can connect the two sort of concepts, is if your interface personality isn't right, then you might walk away feeling bad. But it almost falls apart there as well, because we don't talk about interfaces with a bad personality. It's always something yeah. that you add on. You know, it's either neutral or it's got personality. So that's why it's hard to define, maybe, because just the word personality already limits how we think about it.
Yeah, I've never thought about it that way of, like, I don't know, somebody's personal website, you're never like, they seem like a bad person. Like, they seem mean, you know, like nothing about your website, I think, could really make it, in from a design perspective, could make you seem like a mean person, unless you're saying mean things on your website for some reason. But that is a personality trait. So I guess I think more about like flourishes or like specific color combinations that would make you think this person is silly or fun or really serious, but you don't really think about like that particular type of personality trait when you think about interface design.
No, I think there's something there about whether it's necessary. And so you can imagine, it's interesting actually, you can consider a neutral website. And my favorite example is always gov.uk, because it's extremely well designed as far as government websites go, and probably compared to most other websites as well. But they've intentionally gone for a very neutral visual style, very usability focused interaction design. Everything's thick and chunky, and they've made, for example, all of the borders around fields very obvious, squared off. You know, the buttons have this sort of simple depth effect that's very easy to notice. And so I'm trying to figure out if you would say that that website has a personality, or if you would say that it doesn't have personality because they haven't tried to add anything that gives you this feeling. And I really want to avoid the word delight, because I think delight is what some people start to describe this sort of area as, and that's not right because it's not always a delightful thing. But yeah, that a neutral website like that that's still well designed, does it have a personality, or have they intentionally avoided personality? That feels like another sort of area you could think about to try and define what personality is.
Do you think you can avoid it completely? Like,
avoid what?
Personality. Because I feel like even the most simple website with basically nothing on it, like very, very plain, is still saying something about the person that designed it, maybe, and their personality.
Yeah. I mean, I think as soon as you add a color, it's triggering some kind of, well, it gets back to one of our early episodes, which is classical versus aesthetic, no, expressive aesthetics. And expressive aesthetics are those more sort of emotional, the bolder, sort of more expressive, as the name says, sort of more artistic choices. And they surprise you more and they make you feel more emotions. And so as soon as you start adding color, for example, I think that starts getting towards the expressive end. Mm-hmm. Unlike something like spacing, for example, which is probably quite neutral in most cases. And so I wonder, even if a website just adds color, then they're starting to add personality, in which case it's a very broad term. And it feels like there's a lot of crossover there between personality and just the word style. So what is the style of this website? It's probably closely related to what is the personality of this website. Or you could take a narrower view and you could say, okay, we've established a style. This is the impression people get when they first visit. Maybe personality is just something that you experience as you get to know it. Like as you start to use the website, as you start to use the application, maybe personality describes that.
Yeah.
That sort of feeling you get after that initial impression. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think I'm already starting to conflate like exactly what you were saying in the start of this with like the person behind its personality and the personality of the design itself, because I can't help but try and draw a connection between the two, but I feel like oftentimes they don't match. I mean, just someone can have a very serious looking website and be a very silly, friendly person. Like, you can't make that personality judgment because they might just not. I mean, not everyone sits down and is like, my website needs to reflect my personality and I am serious, so it needs to look serious. Like, it can reflect whatever visual style you like or you want to show. So I'm going to have to be mindful of trying to break that connection a little bit as we talk about interface personality.
Yeah, so hopefully this is a working definition that we can talk about in the episode, even if it's not the one we sort of use the rest of the time. But a few things that what we've talked about already has brought up are the concepts of, I think, first of all, it should probably be unnecessary. So I think personality comes from things that you don't have to do to make an interface. And tell me if you disagree with any of this. But second of all, I think it should be intentional. And so there are lots of things in an interface that are unintentional that probably, if you looked at the equivalent in a person, would be part of their personality, right? So the way they speak or how many swear words they use every, 10 seconds or something. They're not really intending to do those things. That's sort of just naturally part of their personality, which is where these, I guess, concepts move apart. So unnecessary, intentional, and I think it's something you've added on, because there are things like, there are cases where people go full minimalist, right? And they take things away from their interface. And that doesn't feel like it's really getting at that idea of personality. It feels like personality is maybe about the things you've added on that were intentional and unnecessary because you're saying, I didn't need these to be in this interface, but now that I've added them, they add something, like they bring a certain feeling or they make you feel a certain way. Whereas if someone, like my website, for example, is just plain text, intentionally so, but it's not particularly additive, I've actually stripped things out. And that doesn't feel much like personality. It feels more like a statement about my principles or something. And that feels different. So maybe we can use that sort of definition of intentional, unnecessary additions.
Yes. Yeah, I actually really like that. I feel like I come across this a lot on Twitter, just people creating designers or developers creating threads of like, here's this tiny detail I've just been working on for literally no reason, basically for no one other than me. I'm creating this fun border radius or like this interesting connecting line or something like that. That does feel like they know it's not a requirement of the website, but it's something that they felt like doing, that's giving like a kind of feel or a personality to the site. So it's intentional, but also not very utilitarian. It's just like an additional thing.
Yeah, and maybe I'd add one more word, which is unexpected. And so you could probably add things intentionally that are unnecessary, but that people might expect. And so I don't know if this is going to work, but maybe if you had, you know, 5 world-class interfaces, they might all add unnecessary intentional things, but maybe you come to expect that from that sort of application. And so maybe personality at that point is more about the things that people don't expect so that they are surprised by them. Because I think, especially when people talk about delight, really what they're talking about is pleasant surprise.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, because no one's ever really defined it very well, but I think a pleasant surprise element is a big part of it. And that's why people associate it so much with positive emotions, because we put those things in so that people feel a bit of joy or whatever.
Yeah.
When they see some sparkles flying off something.
Like that, the YouTube like button or whatever. I think it's the like button or the, I don't know, thumbs up button, that just like full on gradient rainbow situation.
Oh, yeah.
Guess that's,
yeah, that feels like personality.
Yeah.
There's a great video about this in the world of game design, which I don't know if I've talked about before, and you might have already seen. It's about the concept of juiciness. And so in game design, they have this term, or these people might have invented the term, but I think it's spread, where you make things more juicy. And they basically mean lots of particle effects. When you interact with things, they sort of react in a very over-the-top manner. And it just adds this sort of fidget factor where everything's much more fun in the interface of the game, right? So in the video, it's fantastic. In the video, if you watch it, they basically go through and add levels of juiciness to their very simple block-breaking game. That's quite hard to say. And so they ramp up the juiciness over time, and they show you how far you can take it. And I don't think that quite applies, because we don't have as much sort of sparkly stuff happening when we interact with things, ideally. I mean, that's what this episode's about, I suppose. But in the world of video games, that sort of thing has no ceiling. So actually, it's a good way to look at it in the extreme.
Yes. I really like that term, juicy. I don't think I've ever associated that with interface design. You're just, as you're saying.
No. It's because interfaces are made of hard plastic, which cannot be juicy.
I feel like the term, we look for the opposite, which is crispy. Everyone's always like, ooh, so crisp and clean. And that's kind of like the goal. Which feels the opposite.
Yeah. I had this theory about the word clean, that people used it when they didn't, there was nothing specific they could point out about the interface that they liked. So they just described it as clean.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's like a neutral, positive word when you're like, I like this, but nothing jumps out at me, so it's clean. And crispy, as far as I can tell, was invented by, the person I saw using it most, I think, who popularized it, was Brian Lovin. And I think from his perspective, crispy was used to describe when people have put a lot of effort into the individual pixels, especially around buttons. It seems like buttons were the focus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think like the perfect border radius, the perfect shadow and everything, crispy. I can sort of see why they use that word, but also it's a very hard word to define. So
yeah,
in another way, I don't like it. I do like it when people try to come up with words. I almost never like the words people come up with.
Well, you're just not easy to please then.
When it comes to defining things, I need it to feel exact and complete. And that's almost impossible with some things, especially things like crispy.
I see.
But yes, we touched on a few things there, which are around personality and going a bit too far. And I think that's the point of this episode, is how does going too far affect usability, and what is too far, you know?
Yep.
Although I've got a note here to talk about how can you add personality. I don't know if we've covered that or not.
I don't think we really did. I mean, we sort of talked about different aspects that we've noticed as personality, but I think it really ties back to like most of the principles that we've discussed previously, like use of color, use of different typographical elements or fonts. Layout, I think, can definitely add personality. I think you said layout is probably the most neutral trait. Depends on how, if it's something like very, very uncharacteristic of a website, then it can really add personality.
Oh, yeah. Lots of white space is what I imagined when I talked about how it feels neutral in most cases.
Yeah.
The extreme I was imagining in my head was if you add a lot of white space to a page or an application, suddenly that feels unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas almost every other layout decision I can imagine making feels necessary. Like you're doing this for a reason. You're following very, hopefully, quite strict rules that have good reasons behind them. That doesn't feel like it really adds to personality. Although actually, once you take it too far the other way and go really dense, maybe that can start to feel like sort of unnecessary. I don't know. Yes, one that feels like it's more on that sort of game design side is animation. And it's one that people can overuse quite easily. I think people... So animation is a great way to add personality because of the whole Disney animation principles where things move in a way that we expect living things to move. And suddenly we assign sort of living type attributes to that thing. One of my favorite animations of all time was on the 11T web. I think it was the 11T website, which is a publishing platform or a
It's framework. Like a CMS or
yeah.
I don't know if I'd call it a CMS. Whatever. It's like Next.js and all of those in Astro.
And they had one of my favorite animations because it added so much personality, but it was very simple, which was when you loaded the website, and it still might be there, but I don't want to look because you'll hear my keyboard clacking. when you loaded the website, there was just the big 11T headline right in the middle of the screen. And then slowly, I think it was a possum.
Yeah, with a balloon.
Yeah, it was a possum tied to a balloon.
Yeah.
And it was like the balloon was tied around its waist. And it was just this static illustration of a possum tied with a balloon tied around its waist. And it was a helium balloon. So the possum was floating through the air. And it comes in from, I think, the left-hand side, like lower on the screen, and then slowly drifts across the screen towards the top right-hand side. And it does it so slowly that it almost feels like that awkward moment where someone's like crossing in front of you. And like, let's say you're sitting in the car at the crossing or something, and someone's walking across and they know they're being slow and you know they're being slow. but also this possum clearly wasn't in control of the situation because it had a balloon tied around its waist. And so it was floating across the screen, looking a bit sort of sheepish or embarrassed. And I assume the code you have to write to get that animation to work is extremely simple, right? You're moving it in a diagonal line, maybe with a curve in the diagonal line, from one side of the screen to the other. But it's always stuck with me because it was so simple, but it had so much impact on the feeling of the website. Right? Yeah. They put this thing in and it was completely unexpected. And there's nothing about a CMS platform that makes you think that a possum with a balloon around its waist should come floating across.
What does it mean? What did it make you think about 11D? Did it like, what was your impression of it? I mean, you've kind of explained it, but is there anything specific that you thought of?
Yeah, I mean, to take a cynical approach, looking back on it, I assume they did that just because sort of they could, and the people who made it were quite fun loving. I don't think it had necessarily much to do with the product itself, but.
So a human personality things, trait.
Yeah. It made me assume things about the company, which is along the lines of, they're sort of an indie company and maybe they do things a bit differently. And so those do tell you some useful things about the product. Maybe this doesn't work the same way as WordPress, for example, or some other like Ghost, like a headless CMS type thing, if that's what it's used for. Or if it's a front-end, if it's a front-end framework, maybe it's quite scrappy or something. Maybe you'll have to sort of dive into it. And I don't know. There's lots of assumptions you could make. And maybe that's one of the problems, is that personality like that doesn't necessarily communicate things very clearly.
Yeah.
And that sort of has an impact on usability, right? Do you understand what you're looking at? And some personality sort of approaches, things that add personality, they don't necessarily help the person understand what they're looking at. Because why is there a possum with a balloon tied around them? when I thought I was looking at this website for a sort of a front-end framework or a CMS or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting because that is the memorable thing for you about that website, but you're kind of having trouble explaining what it is that 11T does. So you're focused on that little element, which didn't really tell you much, but it was kind of whimsical.
To be fair to 11T, I don't read the text on most websites because I'm too focused on the design. So I think I'm a bad person in terms of just remembering.
Nobody reads, though. So you're probably the vast majority of the public.
Yeah, yeah. If they can't get through to me, then what chance do they have with, you know, a random person on the street?
Yeah.
Maybe that's right. So, yeah, I wanted to bring up animation because I think it's one of the best examples of a way to add personality that can go wrong the most easily.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's partly because I think designers get too proud of their animations and they focus on them too much.
Yep.
And they put too much time into it and they want to make them take up more space in the person's brain. Right. So they make them too slow or they make them too long. I guess it's the same thing. Or they make them too big or they make them too distracting, all those things. And those all hurt usability.
Yeah, because they seem to forget about the context in which these animations are going to be shown. Like if you're just sitting there designing an animation and like looping it back and, you know, over and over and looking at the beautiful dialogue opening and closing really slowly, you forget how irritating it is to have a dialogue open really slowly. You probably don't even want this dialogue to open at all. Like if it's a pop-up and then it's slowly fading in, you're just like, this is infuriating and it really hurts usability.
I think I've talked about this example before. The Apple app that lets, like the wallet app on an iPhone, where if you have I use it for my train passes. So I buy a train ticket and it gets added to my phone. And then you can remove the pass when it's finished with it. And it does this 80s or 90s looking CRT TV sort of fadeaway effect where it sort of shrinks into a line and the line disappears.
Yeah.
So it's this very sort of 80s, like retro futuristic type thing. And I think someone at Apple was probably quite proud of that. And so somehow they got it in. But it annoys me every time that I have to sit through this probably 1.5 second at most animation. And it's also, like you were saying, not even tied back to the concept of the app. Like, why is this wallet got things in it that fade away? It would make more sense if it was torn up or something.
Yeah.
Right? Which still adds personality and you get to put your cool 3D effects in, but maybe the person who designed it wasn't very good at sort of realistic textures and tearing animations, or maybe there's an edict from on high in Apple that you can't use realistic textures anymore because remember iOS 6 and how we stopped doing that now.
Yep.
Yeah, so that always bothers me because it's like it's not tied to the concept and it's unnecessary. And it's too long, right? So it's got the unnecessary part of personality, but it should be relevant, I think, like you said.
Yeah, thinking about the context. So maybe that's something to kind of look out for as a way to add personality is it needs, like we said, it needs to be intentional and it sort of needs to match the expectations of the interaction that the user is going through.
Yeah, which is weird because we talked about before
unexpectedness
or surprise. Yeah, is part of it. And so I wonder if there's something in the 11T example where it is a very slow animation, it's completely unrelated to the product, but you can ignore it.
Right? Yeah.
I can't ignore the get rid of the train pass animation, but I can just start scrolling and ignore the possum. Right. So it's sort of there if I want it to be, and it's not getting in my way if I don't want it to be.
Right.
And so maybe that's part of it, is it can be unexpected, but it shouldn't interrupt you. And Apple actually has a great WWDC video about this, which is how to make fluid animations, I think. It's one of the most popular. And they talk a lot about animation should be interruptible. And so I think just being able to scroll away from animation is a way that you can ignore it.
Yeah.
And that's probably for the best if you don't want to hurt the usability.
Or thinking about customization as well. I think this is probably not like extremely useful advice for most scenarios, but maybe for like a really big product that you're working on, just thinking about putting the control back in the user's hands if there are aspects of the app that are heavily animated or some other interaction, like letting people disable it so it doesn't impact them, but maybe it's there by default or something like that. But that's not really, we don't do things like that for personal websites where we're adding personality. It's not, well, I guess we let people toggle different color modes. So that's sort of a thing, but yeah.
And on some product websites, you'll see they'll have a background that's moving and they have a pause button in the top left of that section or whatever it is. So you can pause the animations, reduce the movement or the motion. So, yeah, that feels like a way you can add personality. I'm thinking of the Panic website. I think it's the Panic website where they had this sort of Starfield warp drive sort of effect behind the hero section. And I think they had a way to turn that off. And that added a lot of personality to the website. And it sort of fit the concept because you're going fast and it's software and fast is always something you can talk about. But yeah, the fact that they let you turn it off or ignore it was probably for the best because it's very distracting.
Right.
And that's, I guess that's a major point we're making, is that personality is sort of designed to distract you. And if it distracts you too much, then that's bad for the purpose of your software, which hopefully is to get something done.
Right. It's a bit of a balance.
Which is interesting to think about sort of lifestyle-focused mobile apps, because a lot of them have a lot of personality on purpose and that sells. But sometimes they're almost there purely for the personality and they're not really about lack of distraction. Like they're there to distract you. Like,
do you have an example?
TikTok. Yeah, like TikTok is very distraction-focused. Like you're there to waste time, essentially. And so I wonder if adding lots of personality, maybe there's no ceiling on the personality you can add to TikTok, essentially. The same with something like Tinder, where you're swiping left and right, and now Slack has taken on that interaction pattern.
It has?
It feels, there's like a catch-up mode where you swipe the sort of things you need to keep track of left and right. As you're saying, I'm done with this, or I'll save this for later.
Okay.
And it got quite good reactions from people. I think you can add a lot of personality to situations like that because it's self-contained, and it's almost there to make it enjoyable when you interact with it. So I don't know if there's any, especially because you have an alternative for how to read through your unread messages. Yeah, I wonder if they just don't really have a ceiling on the personality they could add. Lots of juiciness.
I just thought of another area that I think a lot of websites add personality to, and that's a 404 page or error states, like things have gone dramatically wrong. I feel like that's an area where you can really go pretty wild. Like you can really add a lot because it's supposed to be very uncommon that you encounter it. And so it's already kind of a surprise that you've encountered this. Ideally, it's a surprise. So it gives you a lot more freedom to kind of be expressive in those scenarios, I guess.
Yeah. It's the same as website footers. They've really become the focus more recently.
Really? For
sort of personality and like very bold design decisions, which is what spawned the website. I think it's called footer.design. So people have been focusing more and more on sort of designing your footer to be really impressive or surprising.
I think
that's because it's a corner of something. Like you're not putting the thing in the middle of the room, you're putting it in the corners.
Yeah.
And it's just like if you had a really spiky, surprising sculpture of some kind, like made of shards of metal or something, you wouldn't put that in the middle of the room because it'll get in the way and it's dangerous. You put it in the corner so people can sort of look at it if they want to, but they don't have to walk around it.
Yeah.
And so it feels the same with interfaces. Like you put these really out there things in the corners, not in the middle.
Ooh, I like that.
Which feels like a shame in the way. Yeah, I guess you have to have a gradient of personality from the middle outwards, and it gets stronger as it, that's a radial gradient, I think.
That's quite a visual.
That was one thing I wanted to talk about. Okay. One more thing I wanted to talk about, which is safe ways to add personality.
Yes.
And we've sort of touched on this because we're talking about don't go too far. But one thing I always liked is the idea that you take something that you definitely need to have and you find little ways to upgrade it. So you are adding things, but you're not adding things you don't need. You're sort of adding things to the things you do need.
Mm-hmm.
And one simple example, let's say, is if your website or your application is full of containers, maybe you add a background texture.
Mm.
Or maybe you add like little edge details or something. And so you're not adding a new thing, like a new visual sprinkle around the container. You're adding it to the container itself. And so you're taking the sort of existing structure and the stuff you definitely need and can't get rid of, and you're upgrading it in some way.
Yep.
And I quite like that because it adds personality without taking up too much more space, sort of mentally or spatially, you know, physically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like another one along those lines is shadows. I don't think we really talked about shadows, but that's something you most definitely need, I guess, unless you're doing like a completely flat design, but it can add, depending on the shadow style, like it can kind of add a little bit of personality or attention to detail that you wouldn't have otherwise.
Some of my favorites are when I see someone has used shadows, but they've basically made the shadow a texture. Mm-hmm. And so this is when they've gotten really far with their brand, but maybe the shadow will be dithered, right? If you want to go for that like old school feeling, or, you know, old printer graphics or something, or maybe it'll just be an image, you know, so you, instead of the shadow being this solid color, you have an image fill on the shadow. And that doesn't work if you have a relatively neutral interface, but it's a way to take the depth that you're talking about and make it that much more full of personality, because you're finding new ways to show the brand.
Right.
But yeah, you need to have room to do that, which is probably sort of the least common interfaces can do that. It's usually like these one-off indie websites that are selling mm-hmm. something a bit wild. one other thing I was going to say about animations was that, and we talked about this already, is tying them to the concept. But a good way to do it is, and this ties into that other point about something you already have, is if you have animations that are there to help you understand the interface. So if something jiggles because it wants you to pay attention to it because it's just appeared like a toast notification, often that would just slide in, right? So you're animating it into place and that grabs the attention. But maybe as it slides in, it could be doing a little jig, you know?
Yeah.
And so that adds personality, but it's an animation you already needed because you don't just want it to appear out of nowhere because people might not notice.
Yeah.
Whereas if you slide in and then have it do a little dance, just mm-hmm. a little wiggle back and forth, suddenly you're adding personality to the interface by upgrading something that's already there.
What about sound? Also less common, but some websites do use sound, like LinkedIn is one that comes to mind. I think they use the sound for notifications and messages and stuff like that. But I don't know that I'm like, that must be the LinkedIn personality. It's funny. I'm not like associating it with personality necessarily, maybe because I don't like the sounds or I don't think that they're that good. Maybe the sounds can be better and that would make it feel more personal. But
I'm not familiar with LinkedIn. Are they quite neutral sounds or are they very expressive?
It's the kind of sound that makes you go, where did that come from? Like, do right. I have an open tab? Like what? Or kind of like maybe you're on like a spam website and you get like a spam chat bot thing that pops up and you just hear like a little ding. That's kind of what it feels like. Whereas you hear a Slack message and you go, I know that's a Slack message notification. Like they brought in some pretty custom, adds a ton of personality, I guess, to the Slack experience. It's like a very specific sound that we're all just familiar with now. So
I think Slack's a great example of sound because I really associate it only with operating systems.
Yeah.
But you can see how things like LinkedIn and Slack are getting close to that operating system end of the spectrum where they're very, like they're tools, they're very practically focused apps. But Slack's a great example because their whole brand was quite lighthearted. And one of my favorite, you've reminded me, examples of sound in Slack is when you're in a huddle and then everyone leaves the huddle and you're left alone. They want to remind you that you're still in the huddle, but they don't do it with like a voice saying you are still in the huddle or something. They don't do an error message or any of those things. They start playing sort of soft ambient music, like a little bit of smooth jazz or something.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And so it makes you think, where's that music coming from? And then you go and find the huddle and it's saying like, you're the last one in here. Here's some music to keep you company or something.
Oh,
or
cute.
Music to work by. And so that's sort of the definition of it's unnecessary and it's an addition.
Yeah.
Right, they've added it on. They didn't need to do it, but it really communicates something about their brand and how they feel. Mm-hmm. And so that feels like a good example of sound as personality.
Yeah. Ooh, I like thinking about sound now because you're just thinking about all the other places where sound matters. Like Figma uses sound in their Fig Jam product in a few different ways, like the little timer and the music you can play.
Mm.
So
Yeah, I really, I sort of discount it, usually in the same way that I discount people who talk about very specific color profiles and things, because I think unless you know someone has the setup to take advantage of this, sound or color, any of those things, you're better off not putting any weight on it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not really a load-bearing sort of technique you can use, because if someone doesn't hear the sound and you're relying on the sound, then it's sort of useless and you should have done it a different way. Just like hovering with a mouse, you can't rely on that for mobile interfaces. And so there's all these things in this bracket or in this category in my head that I think I'm not going to pay too much attention to that because it's not reliable as a skill set.
It's not something you're going to use a lot, but it does sound like sound does fall kind of perfectly into this personality thing, because it's not a requirement. It's like in addition to another alert. Like, it's never the only alert. It's like complementary to the existing alert. So
bingo. Yeah. It's, I guess by definition it's unnecessary, right? Because you can't rely on it. I think you're right. It does fit the idea of personality so much. And maybe that's why people use it for that, because they've realized they can't use it for other things. Except for operating system sounds, those feel a lot more sort of reliable in terms of, oh, this task was done, or there was an error message or something. It feels like we expect sound there more often, whereas everywhere else we sort of don't expect to hear it.
It might be that it is important for some users, like people who can't see, having sound to indicate things. But if they're all different sounds on all different websites, I'm not sure how useful it is, because what is that sound? Yeah. So that's where the operating system, like, you probably get used to the specific sounds, but everywhere else, who knows?
There's like a platform standard, which feels important in many ways, especially in sound.
Hmm.
Yeah, so we jumped around a bit there.
I think that was great. Anything else you want to add? Any personality you want to tack on?
Just that people should be careful. I mean, like with most interface things, coherence is important. And so your personality should suit whatever you're designing.
Mm-hmm.
I think when it goes too far, it's because people have put too much time into it, too much thought into it, or they've maybe not too much thought into it, but they've made it too in your face.
Yeah.
Which if you think about people again, no one likes someone who has a personality that's over the top. except in very short doses.
Yeah. I can identify with that. Cool. Okay. Well, thanks everyone for listening this week, and we'll catch you in the next one.